always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump hosts Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky today at the White House. On Thursday, the president spoke with Russia's Vladimir Putin for more than 2 hours and said the sides agreed to high-level talks next week. The U.S. continues to escalate tensions in the Caribbean. A U.S. official says the military conducted another airstrike targeting a suspected drug vessel in the region. The tensions are focused on Venezuela, says ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Trump blames Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro for drugs coming into the U.S. and is trying to pressure him to step down. The administration offering $50 million for information leading to his arrest and conviction on drug charges.
John Bolton's the latest critic of former President Trump to face criminal charges, indicted on 18 counts related to mishandling classified information. He has denied wrongdoing. He served as national security advisor in the first Trump White House. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the elk and pheasant hunting seasons will officially open on Saturday. According to a press release, 13 hunters were randomly selected from a pool of over 26,000 applicants to participate in this year's elk hunting season. The pheasant season will run through January 4th, and hunters will have a limit of one rooster per day this weekend and two roosters per day beginning on Monday. More information on the hunting seasons and regulations are available on the DNR website. A pair of Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to create an alert system for missing individuals involved in domestic violence situations. The proposed bill would establish the Purple Alert System to ensure a fast, coordinated response to locate the missing individual. The program would be modeled after other systems like Amber and Silver Alerts, notifying law enforcement agencies from across the state. An alert would not be sent out if the individual disappeared intentionally to escape a domestic violence situation. Barron County residents are being invited to the second annual Patriot Palooza in Rice Lake this weekend to support area veterans. The event will take place on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Moose Lodge in Rice Lake. Point of Renewal Integrated Health and Lake Roots Company will host the community fundraiser, which will feature things like a raffle, a silent auction, and a bake sale. All of the proceeds raised at the event will go towards supporting area veterans, and any veterans that attend the event will also get to eat for free. Northwood Technical College held a ribbon-cutting ceremony at its Superior campus on Wednesday to honor the opening of its new mobile dental lab. College officials say the new state-of-the-art facility is meant to help with student training across their four Northwest Wisconsin campuses. The project seeks to provide those students with hands-on experience and provide community members who don't have reliable access to dental care a place to find it. The mobile lab will stay on each campus for 2 years before moving to the next one. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Another loss for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. In the National League Series, the Dodgers down the Brewers again, this time 3-1. And to make matters worse, Milwaukee slugger Jackson Chourio had to leave the game in the seventh inning, re-injuring his strained right hamstring. Pat Murphy with the update.
Chourio's had continual cramps in his hamstring. He feels like he's going to be okay. So I'm hopeful.
So the Brewers down now 3-0. Game 4 is tonight. Football, the Badgers and Ohio State Buckeyes kick off at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon at Camp Randall Stadium. The Packers play the Cardinals in Arizona on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next week.
You know, you got 5 days, get your legs back under you, get back into a great spot mentally, physically, and then it's time to roll. Once the season starts, the first 10, 11 games, like every other day or something like that. So I think it's vital that guys get their legs up under them, get their win back and things like that.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Aaron Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today, breezy and warm for mid-October with highs right around 70. Can't totally rule out a few showers in the afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, breezy, cooler with lows in the mid-40s. Plenty of sunshine on Saturday with highs in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Brewers game from last night, as well as the weekend ahead with Peter Rapine. A Week in Review, a humorous edition from E-Bomb's World. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, October 17th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, watching us on Facebook or YouTube, catching us by podcast. I appreciate you wrapping up your work week right here. I got a question for you and for producer Parker Olson down there in Madison Studio A2. Here's the question. Do you remember the 2004 Red Sox? Of course you do. Of course you remember. It was the greatest league championship series ever. The Boston Red Sox spot the Yankees a 3-0 lead and then come roaring back in game 4. And then they win game 5. And then they improbably win game 6. And in game 7, they complete it. They're down 3-0. They come all the way back and take the series against the Yankees 4-3 to go to the World Series. It was the first time that a team who was ever down 3-0 in the league championship series and came back and won the next 4 to win it all. And do you know how many times it's happened since then, Parker?
I'm going to guess 0.
0. The number is 0.
But let's go.
There's always that chance. It starts somewhere. And so we're channeling the Sox from 2004 going into tonight's game 4, Brewers against the Dodgers. How is that for starting your day with some optimism? Not just given you some hope?
It's way more optimistic than I am, I'll tell you that.
Well, mine might be a little manufactured. Eh. However, I will say, and I've told the story before, I do very clearly remember that 2004 series. I was away on a work trip, so you'd have to go down to the little hotel bar for dinner after every day's classes. And, you know, the first time was game 4. We thought, here comes the Yankees in a sweep, and Boston won. And then the next night, and then a travel day, and then the next night, and the next night. Each time, the crowd in the hotel bar would get a little bit bigger because everybody wanted to see the Yankees lose, of course. And it was great. It was electric. I've never forgotten it. But that's only happened once in 41 instances. The other 40 times, the team that was down 3-0 did not have that kind of crazy comeback. But there's going to be a second at some point. Why can't it be the Brewers 2025?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, let's start with the hitters, right?
Hitting has been so... Pat, it is so incredibly frustrating to watch because the arms have given us such a good chance.
Oh my goodness. And so good.
The batting is so poor that I don't even feel like we have a chance.
Well, I mean,
do you know how bad you have to be in one facet to the game to completely wipe out an entirely amazing aspect of your game?
Yes. Yeah. And we're seeing it. It's a nightmare come to life. In fact, I've got a great stat about that here someplace. Oh yeah. Franchise history. Okay. In the past five games, which goes back to game three of the division series. Mm-hmm. So in the past five games for the Brewers, they have just 18 hits. That is the fewest amount of hits in any five game stretch in team history.
Yeah.
I mean, what a way to make history. The most wins in team history to get here, the fewest amount of hits in any five game stretch to throw it all away. And that's what we're dealing with. You've got, I mean, Christian Yelich, whether you like it or not, you're the franchise player. So you're the poster child. Well, everybody else has slumpy numbers, but we're going to highlight his 1-for-11 with 6 strikeouts in this series.
Yelich couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat right now.
That's exactly the thing. Meanwhile, awful. The guy that you worried about, Jacob Mizrowski, has figured it out. 3 postseason outings. He's pitched 12 innings. He's allowed only 7 hits, 3 walks while striking out 16, including 9 in last night's game. That's a team record for a rookie in the playoffs. Yeah. And he retired 11 Dodgers in a row at one point while it was still a 1-1 game. But when you don't get run support, what can you do?
It's credit to Mizrowski, because I didn't even want him on the roster. So a lot of credit to him. It's cool that Miz, being a rookie, is absolutely killing it in pitching. Yeah. And it's cool that Caleb Durbin, actually. I think Caleb Durbin is probably our best player right now offensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's really got a lot of grit. He really does. But then we've got some other pitchers that, I mean, Aaron Ashby, he just never inspires confidence. And so he starts the game giving up a triple and then a double to start the Dodgers scoring. You know, Mizrowski has to come in after just 2/3 of an inning. But truly, it was the Brewers batters becoming mysteriously incapable of making small ball contact. The same contact that helped them beat the Dodgers all 6 times in the regular season, though Roger is quick to point out on Facebook that back in July, the Brewers swept the Dodgers, but the Brewers were on a wave while the Dodgers at the time had a number of key injuries. Now it's the Brewers who are hurting. The Dodgers are at almost full strength. What a difference 3 months makes. Yes. Yeah.
And we're still making contact, but it's just we're hitting leather finders is the problem.
Yeah, right. Tony is up on YouTube early this morning saying Cleveland had amazing pitching, but the lowest batting average in playoff history. It's really hard to overcome not scoring runs. Yes, that is the object, is to score more runs than the other team does. But
what I hear.
But again, I'm holding out hope. And so Tony goes on to say, between this and you thinking Wisconsin's going to upset Ohio State, you're going to have a rough weekend, Pat.
Oh, God.
Yes, it could be, but Somebody here has got to be Mr. Glass half full. I'm not telling you what it's half full of at this early hour, but I'm half full of something.
One of my buddies texted and said, I kind of hope we just get swept so that this doesn't just keep in consuming my life.
Well, that part is true, because again, the series would come back for a game 6, to do that, we're going to have to win tonight and again tomorrow. So That's a tall order. And I mean, it is really, I hate to say it, it is grudgingly impressive to watch how the Dodgers are hitting on all cylinders. And yeah, you got a $500 million payroll. You better be hitting on all cylinders, but they are. And when they are, it's something to see. I mean, they're doing something that hasn't been done for quite a while. No defending champion, and they are the defending champions, no defending champion has even reached the World Series since the 2009 Philadelphia Phillies.
Really?
And no team has won consecutive World Series since the Yankees took 3 in a row in 98, 99, and 2000 before Mr. Olson was a glean in Mr. and Mrs. Olson's eyes.
Is this true?
Goes back a ways. So the game tonight, which could be it, or it could be a reason to keep hope alive. Pre-game coverage begins at 7:00 on some of these stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, with the first pitch at 7:38. And again, there will be a game tomorrow if the Brewers win. And if they win that game too, then back to American Family Field on Monday. And if it's 2004 all over again, Game 7 will be on Tuesday at American Family Field. One can dream.
A lot of ifs.
Dreams are free, Parker. Dreams are free. We got that going for us. Okay. Maybe let's get to the other part of that equation of this most amazing weekend in sports. When you look back at this weekend and say, this was an incredible weekend, it'll also be because the Wisconsin Badgers somehow beat Ohio State, the number one team in the country, in a football game. And coverage on that game begins at 12:30 tomorrow on several Civic media stations. And the kickoff, I believe, is 2:30, if I'm not mistaken. But 12:30 is when the pregame begins on your favorite Civic media station. And you're going to be looking back at this weekend and going, I cannot believe what the Brewers did. I cannot believe what the Badgers did to Ohio State. And then you wrap up the weekend with the Packers taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Coverage begins Sunday afternoon at 1:00. On several Civic media stations with a kickoff at 3:25. What an amazing weekend this could be. Could. Emphasis could. On could.
Could.
Boy, the word could is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
That might be the biggest could I've ever seen.
Again, there's a reason for the Roy Kent coffee mug on Fridays. There's just some things we only Roy can say as far as what our odds look like this weekend.
Yeah, it's you know, this is the most Wisconsin sports thing that I can think of.
Now, again, we are a radio show, but we are in social media. And so Tony Adds clearly watching on YouTube. The look on Parker's face to Pat's unbridled optimism is priceless. Probably because he knows I don't buy it either, but somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to say it's possible. And that's where we are.
Yeah.
We have to deal in the realm of the possible.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's all fantasy or it's all woe is me. And we're not going to do that today. We're not in the pity pool today, kids.
Oh,
maybe Monday, because the Badgers might be the first to lose by triple digits in a long, long time. And the Brewers could get embarrassed and the Packers could. I can't even think of the radio friendly euphemism here, no. But they could do something. And Monday morning could be, you know, just as morose as can be.
I don't ask for pity. I will just wallow.
Oh, there may be wallowing. I totally understand that. But I would love to hear, see, or read some attempts at either optimism from folks or change the subject entirely for something new and good. Let's see what Jim says on the text from Brookfield. I'm not pre-reading this, so here we go. While the 2004 Red Sox provide a glimmer of hope, the bottom line is that the second season, the playoffs, always belong to the team who is healthy, happy, and peaking at the right time. Unfortunately, the Brewers are not any of the above.
Having
Jim
the first
is officially morose. He's welcome to the pity pool, buddy. It's here. There's plenty of room in the deep end. Come on in. The water's just, well, it's not even water.
It's beer. It's so much beer.
This would be a good chance for me to say, yes, again, we would love to have your input on things today at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can put a text on the Civic Media app. You can use the voice note feature of the Civic Media app. You can put comments on the YouTube or Facebook pages where we stream this fine radio show, the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, the Civic Media YouTube and Facebook pages. And I am relatively certain that we're going to have some good stuff to talk about in terms of local pizza joints. I haven't seen the daily newsletter yet that Ellie puts together for Up North News, but I know that she was on Fridays asking people to send in for their top Wisconsin pizza places. And let's see what we got. Oh, yep. Look, that's a beautiful looking piece of pizza. She gives shout outs from our readers to Joe's Fox Hut in Fond du Lac, says best thin crust pizza with a tangy sauce. Tony and Maria's in Janesville, fresh ingredients and so much cheese, says Patty. Wisco's in Eau Claire, Dina Mia in Rhinelander, Harry's Prohibition Bistro in Sheboygan, Brick's Neapolitan Pizza in Hudson, and Harry's Pizza e Vino in Elkhart Lake are some of the local pizza joints that people sent in by reading our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. You can get in the game. Send us some of your favorite local pizza places, and maybe somebody will be trying something new based on the results of that. All right. Well, as you can imagine, it's a Friday and we have all the best recurring characters coming in. Kia Vakil is coming up next, along with Billy Ball, my Courier newsroom partner from North Carolina, our regular review panel with Jim Fantel and Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. We've got Kristen Lierley is off, so we'll talk to State Senator Jeff Smith, and we'll have Mike Clemens with sports. All that and more ahead on a busy Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitel. You're up north. Oh, and Greg Mock, too.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go. Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Congratulations to the Milwaukee Brewers playing in the National League Championship Series. This matchup with LA being referred to as David versus Goliath.
That's baseball, so respect this team.
Manager Murph knows there's some magic brew running through this team.
This group's come together all season.
From Yelly's power at the plate to clutch pitching, your local station for the Brewers in October, 96.9 FM, 910 AM, WBZH.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is 6:22 now on this Friday morning. And as always, we're talking with Courier Newsroom's national political editor, Kia Vakil, and joined this week by senior editor of the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina, Billy Ball. Billy, Kia, good morning.
Hey there.
Nice to see you both. Unfortunately, it's not for the best of topics. We would be talking to Kia anyway about the way that the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments this week that could lead to the further gutting or perhaps just the inevitable death, it feels like, of the Voting Rights Act. But piggybacked onto that are recent developments in Billy State, North Carolina, where the Cardinal and Pine is the Courier Newsroom sister publication there. And the headline there this week is that North Carolina Republicans, at Donald Trump's behest, are gerrymandering North Carolina again. Billy, A, what are they doing or thinking they want to do? And B, can they get away with it?
Oh, absolutely, they can get away with it. They've gotten away with it numerous times in the last 15 years or so. So I don't find that far-fetched at all. But a little bit of background on this is that a few weeks ago, we started getting rumors that that Phil Berger, who is, you know, for all intents and purposes, probably the most powerful lawmaker in North Carolina. He's the Senate president, a Republican. He's also in a primary to stay in the legislature. There were rumors that he was seeking an endorsement from Trump in his primary, And Trump, in exchange, wanted him to gerrymander North Carolina a little bit more.
For clarification, we were pre-recording this, and that's where we lost Billy. But I think he is, since he did such a good job setting it up, we just want to carry on, and maybe Billy can rejoin us again. We'll see. But, I mean, the key phrase there was Donald Trump's endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, look, Donald Trump has taken over the Republican Party. It is a cult of personality. We know this. He does, unfortunately, carry a lot of sway with his endorsements. And, you know, Phil Berger, who is the Republican Senate Majority Leader in North Carolina, you know, he's been in office for quite a while, and he has a primary challenger to his right. And so he wants Trump's endorsement to fend off the challenger. And in exchange, he's going to gerrymander the maps in North Carolina to give Republicans an extra seat there in what is basically, like, you know, a 52-48 state. They're going to have 11 of 14 seats.
And it is the inevitable fate of something that started with what was partially a Wisconsin case like a decade ago, it feels like now, when now retired Justice Anthony Kennedy made the bold claim that essentially there can't be such thing as a political or a partisan gerrymander that is illegal, and that essentially it was, you know, the trust factor. We were mutually assured destruction. The parties would behave, because if they do it, then the other guys are going to do it someday. And Trump's Republican Party is like, no, if it's not illegal to do a partisan gerrymander, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, it turns out you need guardrails for democracy. You know, we've seen those guardrails fall away one by one over the last 15 years, whether it's Citizens United, whether it's the various rulings weakening the Voting Rights Act.
What is, as best you can tell, is the legal argument that there's supposed to be a statute of limitations on the Voting Rights Act because of the terrible things that happened in the decades earlier, but that, you know, now they don't apply to the terrible things that are happening now?
Yeah, that seems to be Brett Kavanaugh's belief that, you know, these sorts of, you know, considering race and the history of racism and poll taxes and everything in the U.S. Under the Voting Rights Act, considering that as a factor, should only be permitted for a short period of time. Unclear what that is. But this very much goes back to the similar ruling about a decade ago when John Roberts struck down key provisions of the Voting Rights Act, you know, more or less saying that times have changed and we don't need this.
I think we've got Billy Ball back from North Carolina, so let's bring him into this as well. And Billy, one of the things we were talking about, there've got to be a fair number of Republican folks out there that, you know, still have a moral compass to say this ain't right.
If they can squeeze out at Trump's request, if they can squeeze out one more seat, which looks like they're trying to do, is move it to 11. That's the goal. And frankly, it's kind of difficult to see, because it seems as if North Carolina is as gerrymandered as it could possibly be. So in some fashion, they're going to have to make some of their Republican districts, their solid Republican districts, a little more competitive in order to do this. So it's a strange situation, but they likely are intending to get at least another seat on
this. So Kia, let's wrap up with this from a California perspective. We know that voters are going to be asked to change the maps to basically add 5 Democratic seats to offset the 5 in Texas. And yet now all of these other Republican states are starting to act as well. Do you think that leads California voters to be more skeptical of this, or that in the end they're going to say, well, we're going to do our part to try to protect democracy?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to pass. We're going to pass it quite handily. I think California voters will probably, you know, that will probably increase the urgency of passing this. You know, we are a 60-40 state, and even if it doesn't pass by that margin, I would be very surprised if it doesn't pass. Obviously, there's a lot of money being spent on both sides, and awareness isn't necessarily that high. But, you know, the most aware part of the electorate are the liberal base. And so I do think the odds of it passing are quite good. It's just, you know, as other states do it, the effects of us, California, pushing back are going to obviously be minimized in the long run.
Kiev Akil is the national political editor for Courier Newsroom, and Billy Ball is senior editor at the Cardinal and Pine from Courier Newsroom at cardinalpine.com, a name I will always be jealous of because we have pines here, we have cardinals here, but Billy went and got it first. So
they belong to us, Pat.
What are you going to do? Billy, thank you so much. Kia, thanks. Have a good start to the weekend.
Thank you.
You too.
Coming up next, Greg Bach drops by, and I'll tell him don't go changing to try and please me as we take care of today's history lesson with an emphasis on us nerding out over the Billy Joel documentary. That and much more ahead on a Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 AM.
Well, the U.S. government continues to be shut down, which means the USDA is not coming out with our milk reports. And although our government is shut down, others aren't. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. And Katie Burgess, a dairy market analyst with EverAg, is here to give a look into what other countries are producing.
We are getting new production data out of the international markets. And it seems like in places like Europe, New Zealand, they have plenty of milk. And as we watch their commodity prices, particularly European cheese has got a lot cheaper over the past 6 to 8 weeks. And that's making the U.S. markets nervous about 2026 because 2025, the story has been record exports, and with potentially more milk coming out of Europe, there's a big question of if we'll be able to keep up our numbers.
Katie Burgess, a dairy market analyst with EverAg, giving us an inside scoop on European milk production. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at some markets right after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world. To integrate a global ag and energy supply chain. To advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit tastewhatporkcando.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checkoff.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the markets closed yesterday. Everything was up as cash and new crop corn is up 5 cents at 4.21 3/4, and cash and new crop soybeans were up 4 1/4 at 10.10 3/4. December wheat closed up 3 3/4 at 5.02 1/2, with July new crops wheat for 2026 was up 1 1/2 at 5.40 1/2. Taking a look at those 40-pound blocks of cheese, that closed up 6 cents at 176 3/4. And butter, unfortunately, saw a loss down 4 1/4 at 162 3/4. And in case you haven't heard, we have a new Midwest Farm Report app. That app will have everything you want to know about Wisconsin agriculture, and you can download it on your app store. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today, breezy and warm for mid-October with highs right around 70. Can't totally rule out a few showers in the afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, breezy, cooler with lows in the mid-40s. Plenty of sunshine on Saturday with highs in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 57.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local civic media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
All right. In today's history lesson, let's start with this week in 1989 when Billy Joel released the album Stormfront with some enduring hits such as that one, I Go to Extremes, Shameless, which was later made popular by Garth Brooks, and We Didn't Start the Fire, all part of Stormfront, released this day in 1989. You know what? Let's just park the rest of this. The rest of the history, if we get to it, we get to it. But you know what? Greg Bach is here now, and Greg Bach and I, we have completely nerded out on the Billy Joel documentary on HBO Max. Can you affirm that for us, Mr. Bach? Good morning.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Parker. And I can confirm and not deny that I watched both parts in a row thinking to myself, all right, you know, I'll watch like an hour because I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
And then I watched the whole first half. I'm like, I'll just start the second half. And then it was like dark outside. I said, well, that was a day I could have done stuff. But hey, no. I've learned.
Yeah, you've learned that that was a very compelling documentary that will eat up 4 hours and 50 minutes. And if you have any appreciation for Billy Joel, you will enjoy all 4 hours and 50 minutes of it. As we did. I mean, just there's the personal story, of course, with the father who really got him into classical music, but then abandoned him at the age of eight. He was never quite the same after the war. He had witnessed so many atrocities and things, and he just up and left. And Billy Joel's mom had some issues as well. So he just buried himself in his music. And we're just here to talk about just the songwriting, the lyrics that were based on all kinds of real life experiences. And Greg, here's where I really get into trouble. All right. Okay. The Beatles. Beatles were the great. Beatles were the best. Okay. Beatles did a lot of She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah. I mean, they really captured the overall essence of feelings and the human experience. Billy Joel, on the other hand, was like, here's my personal experience and I'm going to write a song about it.
Absolutely. His was my favorite kind of song. It still is. When you listen to like the Eagles or Steely Dan or Billy Joel, the personal touches, but also the snarky, sarcastic nature of lyrics.
Yep.
And the thing I always think about is early in his career, he's got management, he's got a buzz, people are talking, and he goes to L.A. and he hates L.A. So he writes a song making fun of L.A. and they're like, get out. And he's like, yeah, I sabotaged it. I don't know what I was doing, but that's what I did. I'm like, okay.
Just what it does. Now, when he writes from experience, I mean, it all starts with this one first early hit when he wrote Just the Way You Are.
Yes. Oh.
That's your cue, Parker.
He's too into this song
now. He's like, I'm loving I Go to Extremes. I'm just going to play all of this.
I was very interested in that one. I'm not going to lie.
This song and so many others are about the woman who would become his first wife, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And that's a story in and of itself. And that one I don't want to do a spoiler alert on how they met and how they came to be together. It was complex.
Well, and also it's a beautiful story too, that like, honestly, I think regardless of their status still endures. Like they're still like,
oh yeah,
it wasn't the stereotypical, you know,
messy, disgusting divorce, and now everyone hates each other. There's something there, and it's a beautiful story between just the two of them. And this song is great because when you hear it, that opening organ chord, those notes, it almost like you're like, oh, this song is good. And also, there's a very 70s aspect to this song. There's very mid to late 70s feel about this tune. I love it.
He could really write to the times, and some of it was about Elizabeth, and some of it was about the other things that he was going through with his life, like having to, again, because he signed a bad record deal, his first one, to get out of it, he had to play anonymously, and that's where we get this next song, Piano Man, coming from. It's at that point the crowd goes wild, and you know, you can't hear anything the rest of the song because the crowd just singing.
And I would venture, you know, in the annals of songs sung by the audience, I think this outdoes Sweet Caroline. I think it'll go for Sweet Caroline they always do the chorus, that's great. Yeah. But this song, I've watched videos of entire audiences singing the entire song.
Yes, because you can, even if you don't play the instrument, you can relate to him trying to grind out a living and the people that he's meeting. And yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and what I loved is that in this documentary, like, you get to know the characters in the song. You've always known their names and what they do, but he fleshes them out even further. So you get to like experience who they are in his life personally.
Around that same time, you mentioned, as you said, Say Goodbye to Hollywood and The Entertainer, two songs which really summed up his feelings about people who criticized him or who'd done him wrong. He had kind of a darker phase at times with songs like The Stranger and with songs like Big Shot. Let's play that one next.
Oh.
And I love that he was so honest that not only is he still writing the songs about personal experiences, like this one is about his waning days with Elizabeth, but he said, I purposefully wrote the songs for glass houses to be big and loud because I love performing those on stage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why doesn't he do Just the Way You Are, the nice little melodies? Because he's now played on stage and realizes you need big songs for a big audience, and glass houses is full of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And by the way, in between
those lyrics, just like, oh.
Tom Perignon in your hand and a spoon up your nose. Yes. But at that point, because he went from, the 52nd Street album, which had a very New York City vibe, to Glass Houses, which was loud and brash, he was really getting trashed by the critics because the critics wanted to pigeonhole him, and he refused to be pigeonholed.
Yeah.
So then that takes us to the Nylon Curtain album, where he really started to comment more on society, where you've got songs like Pressure, you got Allentown, which is usually the one you would play for Nylon Curtain, where he's really commenting on society. Yeah. But I would rather highlight Goodnight Saigon, where he was talking to friends of his who served in Vietnam. They wanted a song about it. He said, I've never served. They said, listen to us tell our stories. The song that he wrote, this one right here, is probably the one you most likely at home haven't heard, and you need to hear it.
Yes.
On Paris Island, we left as inmates from an asylum.
But then, in a massive pivot, Billy Joel got away from the music business for a bit. He went down to St. Bart's in the Caribbean and was just, you know, kicking it around. He was playing piano in a bar just for fun when in walks Christie Brinkley.
Yeah.
As happens to all of us at some point, right? You know, a supermodel comes walking into your life. Next thing you know, he's writing the Innocent Man album with a whole different genre of music, including one specifically written and a video starring Christie Brinkley.
Even Parker knows it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, Parker, like, you know, I mean, I know you've heard of Billy Joel. Of course you have. You've heard the songs. But he was one of those artists back in the early to mid 80s who was so big. He was everywhere. He was touring everywhere. He was on every radio station all the time. You could not, honestly, if you didn't like Billy Joel, it was a sad time for you because that you couldn't get away from him.
Because it was, yeah, it was. But chances are you did, because you may not have liked everything, but there was something in all of that writing that resonated with you. One more I want to highlight from that album, So Many Off Innocent Men, but Leave a Tender Moment Alone. I mean, just for the harmonica playing, if nothing else, but the lyrics and everything else. Well, anyway, that's when, about this time, Billy Joel finds out that he made another bad deal by making his ex-wife's brother his manager.
Womp, womp.
$1 million embezzled later. God. And Christy Brinkley was actually the first one to kind of notice, like, Billy, where's the money? Where's it going? Yeah. And they figured out they can't get it back. The only thing to do is to get back out on the road. And he did. I mean, he did Baby Grand. He did, and then everything else that led to Stormfront and the song that we were playing before. But his drinking was getting in the way as well.
Yeah.
And Elton John, by the way, the cameos in here, besides Elton John, I mean, so many people that you know by one name: Sting, Bruce, Pink, Garth, Nas, Sir Paul. Okay, that was two, but you know what I mean. And Elton John saying, your drinking is getting in the way of things.
Yeah,
when Elton John
the man who invested early in Cocaine Inc., when Elton John tells you have a problem, you might need to look at yourself in the mirror. Yeah, I mean, and that relation, I remember as a kid being like, wait, Billy Joel is marrying Christy Brinkley. Wait, do I have a shot? With
we all learned.
No,
we
I
could.
Don't.
We could, but don't let that drinking get in the way. Yeah.
But one that with that when they're talking to her, like, it's another one of those things where it's the dissolution of that relationship is heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it's heartbreaking.
And yet, when you can get all four of your ex-wives to be part of a documentary and all of them express ongoing admiration for him and he for them.
Yeah.
You know that there was a pretty good heart there on the inside.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So he does no more writing at that point. He's like, I am tapped out. He describes it as some kind of a beautiful torture, something like that. And he hasn't written pop songs since. But you know what? For that time that he put things out, again, much like the Beatles, pretty good run. You know. Well,
and I'll say one last thing about it too is that, you know, you can say you respect him as a songwriter, you can respect him as a player, you can respect him, like, and there's no way you can get away from how great he is. But the thing that I actually have the most admiration for is the fact that after his pop career, he started writing classical music, writing it, like, notation-wise, writing the actual music. And he said to himself, I don't have the talent to play this. Billy Joel said that, I don't have the talent to play this. I'll find the kind of humility you have to have in a world where you are Billy Joel to say, no, I don't have the chops. I'll get the guy who can.
And I can write it, but somebody else can play this better than me. And he found that person.
Oh my goodness. I was like, I didn't know he had done that. I thought he played it. I didn't realize he didn't play it. And when he says, yeah, I can't do this, I'm like, what musician of his level actually has that kind of inner monologue of critique?
I will say, not to the same degree when we talk about the Beatles, but to know to bring in Billy Preston was a pretty good deal. By the way, I skipped a step before he completely tapped out of writing. River of Dreams was the last thing that came out. We'll play a little bit of that as we start to wrap things up. Then came all the Madison Square Garden shows. No new material. You don't need new material.
No.
You got a pretty good set list to work. That three-ring binder that he has on the piano is pretty thick, you know?
Yeah.
And now he's just trying to be a good dad, like he said. He had young kids really late in life. I get really tired just thinking about it. But he's doing it, you know? And good on him.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was our Billy Joel appreciation segment, so that we get it all out of our system in one fell swoop rather than continuing to torture you with it in drips and drabs. We're done now. Like Billy Joel, we're tapped out. We'll never talk about him again. Some of you will have a local news break. Others will come back and we'll yammer about some of the other stuff that actually happened on this day in history. You can listen on the Civic Media app, Facebook or YouTube, and then we'll catch you after the 7 o'clock news across the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network. Somebody stole.
Thank you.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. It is the beginning of the Wisconsin Science Festival entitled Curiosity Unleashed, and the Hayward Library has free children's science in a bag kits available through the 26th. Again, you can pick them up at the front desk at the library, recommended for grades K through 8. And again, this is through the 16th through the 26th. More information can be found at ysifest.org. That's WISCI Fest, FEST.org. And again, free children's science in a bag kit available at the Hayward Library, located at 10788 State Highway 2777. This is open until all supplies are gone through the 26th, so check that out. Open play at the Northwest Connections Family Resources starting at 9 o'clock on Friday. Open play is a time to join friends and make some new ones while playing with your kids in their children's environment, and a snack will be provided. Again, open play at the Northwest Connection Family Resources from 9 until 11. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf is open once again at 10 a.m. This will be at the Spider Lake Youth Center, located at 11255 Highway 77 here in Hayward, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They have lots of meats and produce, and everyone's encouraged to come get food from this program, regardless of their financial situation. More information is at spiderlakechurch.org, or you can call 715-462-9116. Again, that's the Northwoods Community Food Shelf opening up at 10 o'clock at the Spider Lake Youth Center here in Hayward. Football night in Hayward Lakes area. Spooner varsity football starting at 7 o'clock, and they will be at Ashland Middle School. The Spooner varsity football team will be playing Ashland at the Ashland Middle School, 7 o'clock on Friday evening. Of course, Cumberland, they will be at Barron High School for their game at 7 o'clock, the Barron High School varsity game against Cumberland at Barron. And Hayward High School, you will be on the road heading to Northwestern High School for their game, 7 o'clock, Hayward at Northwestern in Maple, Wisconsin. Saturday morning, the Tribal Governing Board is inviting all tribal members to an informational meeting held at the casino starting at 9 a.m. Again, general membership meeting starting at 9 o'clock at the Seven Winds Casino for tribal members only. A Junior Naturalist Activity Day is museum exploration. This is happening at the Cable Natural History Museum. Families can stop by the museum's classroom anytime between 10 a.m. and noon to participate in hands-on activities, challenges, and crafts dedicated to connecting you with some of the museum specimens. Adults should stay with their children and are encouraged to play with us. Donations are welcome. This is all part of the Wisconsin Science Festival. For more information, you can visit cablemuseum.org/events or call 715-798-8390. Again, Junior Naturalist Activity Day from 10 until noon at the Cable Natural History Museum, located at 13470 County Highway M in Cable. The Social Security information session that was offered last Wednesday is offered on Saturday the 18th from 10 until noon. This will be at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library, located at 10788 Highway 2777. The Social Security Information Center will help you set up your Social Security online account, help you with some of the tools available that you can use when you have your online account established, help you get updates to your account, and powerful ways to use it. So don't miss that. You'll need some of this information. You could need some of this information for your Medicare plan updates that you need to do during open enrollment. So again, start off with the Social Security Information Session hosted by Margaret Winter, a registered Social Security analyst with 25 years experience. Again, check that out Saturday the 18th from 10 until noon at the Hayward Library. It is the last race of the season for races at the ranch. On Saturday, driver's meeting starts at 1 o'clock. Races following shortly after. If you want to see a backyard, old-fashioned, junkyard cars sort of derby race, check it out. Races at the Ranch, located at 9130 Carlton Road in Spooner. There is a small donation for admittance. Otherwise, bring your own chair, foods, and beverages, and enjoy an afternoon of races at the ranch in Spooner. This is the last one for the season. A 4-H Project Day is scheduled for Sunday, October 19th, from 1 until 4 at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds. Lots of opportunities for adults and volunteers to learn about the various projects that are being offered by the Sawyer County 4-H program. Again, at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds from 1 until 6. Again, the 4-H Project Day open house at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds, Sunday, October 19th from 1 to 4 o'clock. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's former National Security Advisor John Bolton's been indicted on 18 felony counts involving mishandling classified information. Bolton denies wrongdoing, calling this a further weaponization. His lawyer says Bolton kept private diaries. ABC legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer said,
within this indictment, it says that none of the 18 counts in the indictment are associated with information that came out from the memoir. Instead, it's about information that was allegedly sent to two individuals within his family, as well as this alleged leak that Iran might have picked up.
Today, President Trump will host Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House one day after he spoke with Russia's Vladimir Putin and agreed to another round of high-level talks. Texas Governor Greg Abbott